John chapter 18. Christ is going to Calvary. You know, that's why he came. That's why he came to earth. Aren't you thankful? I'm sure thankful. And he's headed there. He's made his way back to Jerusalem now. And we've looked at a host of miracles as he's passed through cities and towns and villages. And he's touched people's lives and people's lives changed forever. And making his way right back to Jerusalem, the disciples no doubt they have a sense of something's going to happen. They don't understand everything exactly. Christ has been telling them some things that are going to be coming in the days ahead. They've been trying to take it in the best they can. Some have said, no, that can't happen. We'll stay right with you and we'll defend you and all this business. But here he is, making his way right back and right toward the end. And he gets to the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 18. And he's praying. His disciples are there with him. He's had to go wake them up a couple of times. And the mob now, or the multitude, or the crowd of people, the throng of people coming to take him. And you know, of course, that Judas is going to betray Christ publicly on this night. That's where we pick up in John chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? That's John chapter 18, verse 1 through 11. You can read the account of his betrayal, the same story in all the Gospels, Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, Luke chapter 22, and you want to make note of those and as you're preparing for the lesson on Sunday, of course. But here we have some details given in this account that you don't find in all of the other accounts. Two specifically. Number one, you have that we're told that it was Peter that drew the sword. And number two, we're given the man's name who lost his ear. It was just for a brief time, but he lost his ear. If you look in Luke 22, and you'll see in verse 47, And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. I'm in Luke 22 and verse 48 now. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Can you imagine the scene? We'll look at some other things going on there, but this multitude comes to get Christ, a mob of people coming with lanterns and staves and no doubt quite a racket. Christ could see them coming. He knew they were coming anyway. And Peter gets all excited, going to defend Christ, and no doubt trying to chop the gentleman's head off. And Malchus flinches, and off comes the ear, lands on the ground. And Christ, in tenderness, reaches down, picks up the man's ear, and puts it right back on his head, attached it to his ear. What a scene right there in the garden as Christ is being betrayed. Jesus touched his ear. And here's the last miracle that Christ performed before going to the cross. And let's see how we can be encouraged by it and the truths that we can get from this story. This miracle that Christ performed in the life of Malchus. First, we see the power that he, speaking of Christ, the power that he did not use. The power that he did not use. Once again, Picture the scene now. Christ in Gethsemane, his disciples there with him. And here comes the crowd. The disciples, I think you can readily understand they would have been tensed and anxious and wondering what's going to happen, ready to fight, ready to defend, not knowing exactly everything that was going to go on that night. They see this multitude, as some of the Gospels put it, this multitude, a great crowd of people coming. Nighttime, all the noise that surrounded that, the hustle and bustle, and Christ steps out and introduces himself to the crowd. He's not running. He's not hiding. No doubt they thought they may have to come and search him out. And Judas had established the plan. He said, "The one that I kiss on the cheek, that's the man that we're after. That's Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth that you seek." And there they are to take him. The power that he did not use. Christ had the power. He can do all things. He could have delivered himself. If you turn back to Matthew, the 26th chapter, you'll see exactly what he said to Peter. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, "Put again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." We're just picking up at the end of the account here. Verse 53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" That's the power that Christ did not use. The power that he did not use. He had the power to speak. As they came to him, they said, Whom seek you? And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am he." The same "I am" that's in Exodus when Moses says, "I'm going to go stand before Pharaoh." And Pharaoh's going to ask, "What do you mean let these people go? Who sent you?" God just told Moses, said, "You tell him, I am sent you." And that's the same "I am," Jesus Christ, as he's standing in this garden that evening. And he says, "I am." And the very power of those words cast them to the ground. And they scrambled to their feet, got right back up in their hardened condition, and came right back again. And Christ says, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "We're seeking Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I told you, I am he whom thou seekest." That's the power that he did not use. The power to speak and cause them to fall. The power to put a man's ear back on the side of his head. Reach down, no doubt it's bleeding profusely, and pick it up, and just with that gentle touch, put his hand to Malchus' ear, to Malchus' head, and his ears reattached. That's the power that Jesus Christ had. That he had that evening. He could have delivered himself the power that he did not use. He said to Peter, I have the power, if I called my Father, to get 12 legions of angels here. We'd have nothing to fear. That's the power that he did not use. Now, why did he not use it? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, remember, as the messengers come before Abraham and Sarah and tell Sarah she's going to have a baby, and she laughs and says, "I don't think that's possible." And the Bible gives us the account where they says, "God can do all things. God can do all." That's the same God that's standing there in that garden facing that multitude of people. The power that he did not use. Now, why didn't he use it? Because he loved you and he loved me. And he was going to Calvary to give his life as a ransom for the entire world. That's the power that he did not use. Secondly, we see the power that he did not need. This is a little tough for us to handle right here. The power that he did not need. We know from John chapter 18 here in verse 10 that it was Peter that drew the sword. Of course, we're pretty hard on Peter sometimes, but he was going right after it. And he was excitable. And he took that sword, trying to defend and taking action, cut Malchus' ear off. And Christ says, "I don't need that." He says, "Peter, put your sword away. Put your sword away." And sometimes I think we get in the same situation where we think God has really got something because he's landed you or he's landed me. You know, I wonder what God would do. I wonder what would happen if God hadn't found me and I wasn't serving him. Well, I tell you what would happen. His will would still be going on and he's still God of the universe. And I'm grateful that I have an opportunity to serve. And I'm grateful that he's chosen to use people. Aren't you grateful that he's chosen to use people? Christ said, "Look, if people don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out." His will is going to be accomplished. But the power that he does not need, the power that Christ does not need, is the power of me and the power of you trying to accomplish his work in the flesh. And my, how convicting that is. Have you ever tried to accomplish God's work in the flesh? Have I ever tried to accomplish God's work in the flesh? I'm sorry to say I have. Have you ever tried to speak to someone about God before you spoke to God about someone? Your children, somebody at work? Have you ever tried to teach a lesson, teach a Sunday school lesson in the power of the flesh? And God says, Christ says to Peter, I don't need that, Peter. Put your sword away. That's a power that I do not need. God can only use me. I don't think it's any secret that we talk about, we admire a man like Lee Robertson, and we're praying for his 95th birthday here in just a few days. And he says often, I die to self, die to self. What's the secret? Die to self. Why is that? Because that's the only people that God can use. There's nothing in me, nothing in you that God can use. Just dead nothing is all he wants, so that he can have it all and he can receive the honor and glory from it. That's what God's looking for. There is a power that we have, but it's not a power that God can use. And you hear a lot about it. What is the power of positive thinking, or the power of persuasion, or the power of personality, or whatever. A lot of people have powers, but there's not power that God can use. God can only use power. He says to Peter, that's not a power that I can use. I must receive the glory. And without me, ye can do nothing, Christ said in John chapter 15. Without faith, it is impossible to please God in Hebrews chapter 11. I like in the Old Testament where Zechariah said, the Bible says in Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the power that he did not need, as Peter's displaying it there. And then finally we see the power that he did not deny. The power he did not deny. Turn back just a couple pages to John chapter 2. You want to make note of this, these verses. You can follow this right through the book of John. Here's the question. Way back, Christ in his very first miracle that's recorded in Scripture, miracle of the Cana of Galilee, right after that, in John chapter 2 and verse 18, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, they didn't understand what he was talking about there, but we know what he was talking about himself, the power that he did not deny. Now, turn just a couple pages forward to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The question back in John chapter 2, Christ says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. We're talking about the power he did not deny. And he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Christ entered that situation calmly, because he knew the power that he had. And he was not, they weren't taking his life from him. He was going to lay it down willingly. He was headed to Calvary, lay it down for your sins and for mine. He had the power to take it up again. And he knew the victorious days ahead. The crucifixion was going to look very bleak. But then 3 days later, he's going to be raised again, because he knew he had power and victory over death, hell, and the grave. I don't know about Malchus. This is the only time we're introduced to him. He lost his ear for a few brief seconds. I don't know if Malchus ever got saved. I would suspect for the rest of his life, I think, this is just supposition, I think he probably heard better than he'd ever heard before. And I think from that day on, every time he heard something clearly, he thought, you know, Jesus of Nazareth touched that ear, put it back on. I don't know if he trusted Christ as his Savior. But I know this, some years ago, Christ reached down and touched me. And I can rejoice in that. And I want to rejoice in that. The power that he did not deny. As the songwriter said, he touched me and made me whole. Aren't you grateful for that? He didn't just make my ears whole. He made me whole, so I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's a great blessing. Here it is. Jesus touched his ear. Jesus touched his ear. The power he did not use, and that's the power to save himself from those people that night. The power he did not need, and that's the power of Peter intervening and working in the flesh. And then the power that he did not deny, the power to be raised again on the third day, victorious, so that we may have eternal life. That's the Sunday school lesson for this Sunday. May the Lord help us to encourage people to be here, and they'll be encouraged from God's Word.